happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum in my summer uniform.
That's the non-tie uniform. Polo shirt. Yeah. Very, very appealing. I'm Ann Northrup in my eternal uniform.
And in the news this week, well, the White House and the Vice President's residence were decked out for Pride.
We have lovely pictures, yes. We also this week marked the 8th anniversary of the Pulse massacre in Orlando. Vice President Harris and people across the nation observed that.
The Stonewall National Monument there, the rainbow flag display, was vandalized for the second year in a row.
Not surprising.
Even in New York.
Yep. President Biden has chosen an out-by nominee to run the FDIC.
Two Trump judges blocked Biden's protections for LGBTQ students, one of them calling his order a threat to democracy.
Delaware is on track to send the first out trans member to Congress.
New York schools chancellor Banks removed that offensive Moms for Liberty member from a Manhattan Education Council.
Transgender swimmer Leah Thomas has lost her lawsuit to compete in the Olympics.
The killer of a gay journalist in Philadelphia was sentenced this week.
And the really phenomenally major donor and supporter of LGBTQ causes, Utah gay activist Bruce Bastion, has died.
The Thai Senate voted overwhelmingly to legalize same-sex marriage, first in Southeast Asia.
LGBTQ soldiers in Ukraine marched through the streets of Kyiv for equal rights.
We're going to tell you about the many LGBTQ angles at the Tony Awards.
And Andy is going to tell us what he thought of the performance by Irish legendary drag artist and activist Panty Bliss, who is performing in New York City.
Two thumbs up. And next week, Ann will be away, and Maren Johns will be here. And also, we're going to have our associate producer, Bill Ballman, as a special guest. He's been an activist, gay activist, since 1970, and an HIV activist. 2 weeks, Chris Cooper. 3 weeks, Maren will be back. And a month from now, we're going to have lesbian activist and HIV activist, Ann Northrup, at the table here.
Returning.
And we want to say thank you to all of you for your support.
Absolutely. We put out an appeal for Pride Month, and you responded beautifully, and not only with financial support, but with the most wonderful words and letters telling us what the show means
to you. Got a note from a viewer in Ohio who said, I discovered Gay USA on TV while channel surfing about 10 years ago. Wish I'd found you sooner, but at least I found you. Thank you, Ohio.
And I want to update a story we did last week before we plunge into this week's news. We talked about a trans contestant winning the Miss USA Maryland contest and described her as married. And the question was raised, well, how can she win a Miss USA contest if she's married? And a viewer reminded us that they changed the rules of the pageant a couple of years ago, well, 2023. They now allow married people and mothers to compete in these pageants. So Miss Maryland is moving on to the Miss USA pageant.
The troubled Miss USA pageant.
Oh, my God, it's a mess. Nonetheless, we wish her the best, and we'll see. We'll follow her progress.
And we're getting wished the best from the White House. They flew a rainbow flag between two American flags there from the South Portico. Let's hope it is back up there next year with the same president.
And not torn down by some vandal. We'll get to that. But it was a lovely display. It was great to see that hanging there, especially when the flag is under such attack. Both flags are under such attack. At least the American flag was hanging right side up and not upside down. And then there was the vice president's residence at the Naval Observatory, decorated for Pride. Great little statue. What would you call it?
Sign.
Okay.
Pride. It says Pride in big rainbow letters.
Freestanding sign and a little bunting on the entranceway. That was very nice.
And Kamala Harris and the first gentleman, Doug Emhoff, hosted a reception there. It was the eighth anniversary of the Pulse Massacre, and Harris highlighted the interconnectedness of various civil rights movements and importance of solidarity. She spoke passionately against the attacks on transgender people.
And also speaking at that event was the HRC employee Brandon Wolf, who is a survivor of the Pulse Massacre. He's been extremely active and eloquent in his fight against gun availability and a worker for some years now, ever since the Pulse Massacre.
And they weren't shying away from drag. The event was emceed by RuPaul's Drag Race winner, Nymphia Wind. Kudos, by the way, to RuPaul, who just raised $2 million for a drag defense fund at the ACLU. And by the way, the White House LGBTQ reception is set for June 26th, the day before Biden's first debate with Trump on CNN, if it happens.
So he's bringing in the gays to give him some support and energy for the debate. Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think it won't?
I think Biden will be there, God willing.
I don't know if they're just trying to make it more interesting by suggesting Trump may not show up. But, you know, he's losing his mind.
Anything can
happen. He's losing his mind, so he could not show up. So, meanwhile, there also was a very moving observance of the 8th anniversary of the Pulse Massacre here in New York City. We met, Gays Against Guns ran this, met on the pier at Christopher Street. What they have done for many years is have people wear white outfits to symbolize the people who were killed.
And they're called the human beings, and they hold pictures of the people, of the 49 people who were killed at the Pulse.
Exactly. So met there, did a little ceremony there, and then walked up the walkway at the Hudson River Park to a place where there's a memorial, a small memorial. Rocks, I'm not very crazy about that, but it's
right
there. And then Jay Walker of Gays Against Guns gave a speech about this, and we thought you might be interested in that.
I'm president of Gays Against Guns. We're here today because today is June 12th, 2024. Today marks 8 years since the Pulse nightclub massacre in Orlando, Florida, in which 49 members of the LGBTQ plus community were killed and another 53 were wounded. This year is especially important to remember this horrific hate crime against the LGBT community of Florida and of the United States and of the entire world. Right now, across this country, there are pieces of legislation being enacted in state houses, in the North, in the South, in the Midwest, that are directly contributing to hatred against LGBTQIA2S plus people. People die because of legislation like this. People like the sociopath who went into the Pulse nightclub and massacred 49 people are inspired when members of political parties practice public hatred and face no accountability for it. Every year on June 12th, Gays Against Guns comes out to remember the 49 lives lost to this kind of hatred. And we will continue to do it because it seems very clear that that sort of hatred is not dying off in this country. That kind of hatred is flourishing in this country. Right now, the Heritage Foundation has started something called Project 2025. Embedded throughout it is an out-and-out assault on the LGBTQ plus populations. That group, the Heritage Foundation and its Project 2025, are deeply intertwined with the political campaign of Donald Trump. When a major political candidate for President of the United States is that closely tied to hate mongers, to out-and-out hate mongers, white supremacists, anti-LGBTQ bigots, misogynists, and xenophobes, it is important for all of us, especially those of us who are in blue states, but those of us all across the country, to take a stand. So we are here. Behind me are 49 volunteers, each of whom is holding a placard that represents, that holds space for a person who was killed at the Pulse nightclub on June 12, 2016. We're going to have a moment of silence now to reflect on the lives lost to hatred and to gun violence.
It's always very moving to be at these events. I was glad I was there, and it's great that Gays Against Guns is continuing to work, and it's a tough row to hoe.
It sure is.
Now,
I mean, I wonder if they're going to, the Congress would actually ban the bump stocks. It was a Trump initiative after the massacre in Las Vegas, and they did it, and the Supreme Court just overturned that because they want to see more people get killed by guns.
Well, I don't think the Republicans are going to support.
Even with Trump? What's Trump going to go back on it?
Trump, yes. Yes. He acted in the moment. He doesn't have any real commitment to anything like that. You think Trump
doesn't have any commitment to anything
except
himself.
Exactly. You think he's committed to gun control? Absolutely not. He keeps promising all the gun owners that he's not going to do a single thing. Now, meanwhile, Jay referred to the hatred and the attacks on us. The U.S. House passed the National Defense Authorization Act that we've been talking about that has all the terrible riders that were attached. You know, they passed it in committee with Democratic support, and then they get to the floor, and the Republicans just throw all these anti-LGBTQ...
And lots of other culture war issues.
Right. So it includes things like no education on gender identity, no pride flags on any federal buildings.
No DEI at the Pentagon.
No trans care, no drag shows.
Well, the Senate's not going to pass it, but who knows what, you know, what they're going to do. And, you know, Biden may veto it if he has to, but it is the Defense Authorization Act, which they keep saying they have to pass.
Which is why I live in fear that the, you know, in the past there have been compromises made on things like this, and then we end up with stuff we don't want just because someone has said, well, we really have to leave this in just to get it passed. Thank you to Representative Robert Garcia of California, who stood up on the House floor and defended drag and pointed out, first of all, he showed that picture of Rudy Giuliani in drag with Trump.
Right. There is video of that. You can Google it.
Yeah. And talked about how there is hundreds of years of tradition of drag shows in the military. That was all you have to do is
Ronald Reagan.
South Pacific.
No, Ronald Reagan hosted a drag show in a movie from the 40s.
And Trump, people say, oh, he'll be better for LGBTQ people. He doesn't really hate us. He gutted non-discrimination laws while he was in office. He barred trans people from the military. Barred U.S. embassies around the world from flying pride flags. And he's promised that there will be no trans people playing sports and no trans care for anybody. So
never,
if you think he's going to be softer, forget
never
it.
Never hosted a pride reception.
Oh, God, no.
But at the home of Stonewall Rebellion, at the Stonewall National Monument, which has been festooned with rainbow flags, it was once again vandalized.
Let's show that video.
I mean, this is the display by Steve Menendez.
Stephen Love Menendez, every year for some years, has gathered a group of volunteers and attached these flags to the fence around the Stonewall Park there. It's absolutely gorgeous. They're up for the month of June. Last year, they were attacked and vandalized.
They have police there during the day. I've seen them, but they don't stay there all night.
And what good is that? You think they're going to be attacked in broad daylight? No, they're going to be attacked at night. So why are the police going away during the night? And what about cameras? There's talk about more cameras. So anyway, this year, as I feared, once again, these flags were attacked. And cut to the picture, after all this beauty, here's what ended up happening. You can see some broken little flag sticks there and all the missing flags because they were stolen.
250. Actually, he said about three quarters of them.
And then you can see what happened to some of them, thrown on the ground, trampled on. Well, Stephen is a genius, and he got them back up again because they have a huge supply of them, and he got his volunteers back out, and so they're back on the fence with a little added security. But really, they need more security and more cameras there.
And then in Los Angeles, there are signs that we wanted down in conservative Silver Lake neighborhood. They took down the anti-gay signs that have been up since 1997, which said, no cruising, no U-turns, midnight to 6 a.m.
There have been several, you know, the Pride marches happen all during the month and actually in other months, too. And they've basically succeeded in spite of bomb threats and attacks, but there have been protests around the Palestinian issue, the Gaza war, and over corporatization, so that's still taking place. Bomb threats in Alaska and Texas and Woodstock, New York, and Newton, Mass, but again, they have kept going, and there have been drag story hours that have taken place. But in Indiana, the ACLU has filed suit against the town of Luguti for unconstitutionally preventing Pride celebrations with too many restrictions.
I mean, they gave them a permit, and then they just started backtracking on it and passing new laws that were supposed to exclude them. The ACLU will win this case, I hope, in time. But folks out there in Luguti, which is population 2,600 or something, march anyway on the sidewalk if you have to. Make a stand.
And in New Milford, Connecticut, the online bullying threats were so violent that the Pride picnic with a drag performance was canceled.
Well, there's a lot of hate out there. The annual hate report from the Southern Poverty Law Center says that the states with the most white supremacist and anti-LGBTQ groups are, well, they're big, California, Florida, and Pennsylvania in that order. They've documented 1,430 such groups nationwide, a 50% increase over last year in white supremacist and 33% rise in anti-LGBTQ groups. Nine of the groups that are part of the coalition that supports Project 2025, which is what the Republicans are going to use to do us in next year, if you give them the chance. It's all about consolidating right-wing power of Trump and the Republicans in Congress.
I'm happy to see that Project 2025 is getting a lot more notice these days. It's building.
In the Congress, they have a plan. I mean, there's a new group that's been formed to counteract it, but we better get super organized if we lose. But we're not going to lose, are we?
StopTheCoup2025.org.
By the way, this was also the week that the Supreme Court did unanimously reject the challenge to the abortion pill, but only on standing issues. They can always get another positive ruling from that Texas judge, Kaczmarek, as they did in this case. Pending, by the way, is the high court's decision whether states can override the federal law and deny patients emergency medical care, which might involve abortion. You know, and by the way, voters who say they will only vote for pro-choice candidates has gone from 10% in 2020 to 23% today. And voters who will only vote for anti-abortion candidates has dropped from 13 to 8. So, and 63% say they won't support a candidate who supports a nationwide abortion ban. So I hope you all stick to this. We'll win if you do.
Well, this is what's been happening ever since the Dobbs decision. And frankly, ever since the Trump election, when he took office in 2017, that electorate has been effective and growing. And we're counting on that this year, too.
Well, Republicans even voted against contraception last week and in vitro fertilization. This,
it's not helping them.
And as Adam Schiff said, they held a take a felon to work day in the Republican caucus. And that was just a depressing spectacle of the slavish devotion to this crazy man.
How can they not see this as self-defeating?
He tried to kill you during the insurrection. Don't you understand that? Don't you have any self-respect?
No. They have a craven desire for power and proximity to daddy, and they don't see any other way, and they don't have any guts to do anything else.
But in a positive development, the Catholic bishops did oppose for the trauma that they imposed on Native Americans at church-run Indian boarding schools for 100 years. From the 19th century to 1969, the vote of the bishops was 181 to 2. I want to know who the two were. And how long before we get our apology?
Look, I can counter that. In the state of Washington, the state attorney general is going to investigate the archdiocese for using church funds as charitable funds to cover up the clergy abuse of children.
That's great.
They are, the attorney general says the church is refusing to cooperate. Really?
And here's another positive story. The J. Edgar Hoover building, the headquarters of the FBI in D.C., is scheduled for demolition as the FBI moves to the suburbs. So finally, I hope, ridding the FBI of an honor to that racist closet case. The push is to erect the National Museum of the American People there, depicting 20,000 years of humans here, from the first peoples to all subsequent immigrants.
Oh, please, just put up a park.
I'm all in favor of that.
And I think if they don't,
we need a golf course on the mall.
Putting green, at least. But why? I think the only thing that'll prevent them from putting Hoover's name back on the new FBI building is thinking of him as a closet case. That might prevent it. All right.
Yeah. And let's talk about these court cases. Two federal judges appointed by Trump and have blocked the Biden administration's Title IX regulations that expanded protections for LGBTQ students.
So the Biden administration said, look, we have the Bostock decision from the Supreme Court that says you can't discriminate against trans people in employment. So then the Biden administration said, well, if you can't discriminate in employment, then surely that must apply to the Title IX.
No, says Judge Terry Duffy.
Let me just finish the sentence.
Okay, sure.
The Title IX prohibition against sex discrimination in education, because that's what Bostock did with employment, discrimination on the basis of sex education, sex discrimination, which they defined as including trans people.
So Judge Terry Duffy said that Title IX was enacted to protect biological females and denounced the regulations as an abuse of power and a threat to democracy, saying allowing this would allow decades of triumphs for women and men alike to go down the drain. And a three-judge panel of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the 20 GOP attorneys general who sued over the guidelines issued in 2021 after the Bostock decision, saying it conflicts with state laws. So this is a struggle. Here's the thing. These right-wing judges, all they do is watch Fox News, and Fox News covers anti-trans stuff 5-6 times a day, in case you don't watch it. And this is where they get their information from.
Well, I have a new thing for them to watch, because I watched Queer Planet on, Peacock? Hulu? Hold on.
It's streaming.
Peacock. Queer Planet. Now, I thought, And it'll be, you know, same-sex sex in the animal kingdom, and it is. And there's a lot of video of that, and they try to sort of play with it in jokey ways to make it more palatable than just showing sex between animals for an hour. But what really caught my attention and I thought was well done was the discussion of gender identity and the discussion of how in the animal kingdom, gender is fluid and can change and does change in various species and various animals.
It's the way God made them.
Well, exactly. And that was a complete eye-opener and I thought extremely instructional. And, you know, I've been, I thought progressive for many years, but this really hit me at a new level. And made me really understand the whole discussion in a different realm. And I would highly recommend Queer Planet on Peacock to get to that understanding because it really can change your perspective and the angle you come at this from. And I really appreciated it and thought it was, in spite of all the jokiness and the Queer Planet, Peacock, watch
and
it.
And despite all the anti-trans stuff in the Republican Party and on Fox, a new Gallup poll says 60% of Americans oppose those laws banning gender-affirming care for minors. Oh. However, 51% think transitioning is morally wrong. The Gallup in March found that 0.9% of U.S. adults identify as transgender, though 2.8% of Generation Z still a tiny minority that Republicans live to slander.
Well, again, watching this show made me see the insanity of this whole debate and how inappropriate it is to even have this conversation and this fight. And so when I see things like the guy in Texas, the doctor who stole records from the Texas Children's Hospital and on trans care and gave them to the right wing, gave them to Christopher Rufo to publicize people's personal medical records.
Aren't there laws against this?
The DOJ is now prosecuting him, but the right wing is holding him up as a hero. A hero for liberating this information.
Our hero was the one who taped Alito and and Roberts. And in New York, if you think it's a liberal place, a trans man sued the New York prison system for forcing him to undergo illegal genital examinations in prison. He's going to receive a $275,000 settlement. In 2020, the man entered a women's prison and staff inspected his genitals four times. He had worked at an LGBTQ service organization where he learned that that's not kosher. Prison staff put him in isolation until he acquiesced. Doctor placed him in stirrups, penetrated him with a cotton swab. New York's prisons still have no regulations on the incarceration of trans people.
That is shocking. And 250-plus lawsuits have been filed in New York by people sexually assaulted in jails by guards. We know the statute of limitations was lifted or extended for sexual assaults in general. 250-plus lawsuits just for jail assaults.
Sure. Shall we give them some political news?
Yeah, let's do the good news. The Biden administration has nominated Christy Goldsmith Romero, who is an out bisexual, to run the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. She is a crackerjack who has a long career of rooting out corruption and waste in the financial industry. And she would be, I mean, I don't know her personally, but from what I read.
Well, you know, she's been Senate confirmed for other positions twice unanimously.
Yep.
But now the Republicans, of course, it's an election year. They're going to go after her.
Yes. Terrible.
On behalf of the banks.
Yeah. But good, a little good news from Florida, where Disney and Governor DeSantis have reached a settlement. You know, DeSantis has been pursuing them ever since they spoke up and objected to his anti-LGBTQ laws under pressure from their employees. And so they filed suit against DeSantis for blocking their development plans. And now DeSantis is back down, has approved their development plans. They've withdrawn their lawsuit. So things are quieter now in Florida.
Also in Florida, LGBTQ pioneer Carlos Guillermo was just elected to the state Senate, the second out member of that chamber in history. One of DeSantis's sharpest critics. He took DeSantis to court when the governor was trying to hide public information. Republicans spent, this is a state Senate race, millions to defeat him for his House seat in 2022, and now he's a state senator.
They gerrymandered him out of his House seat after he had been such a fierce critic of DeSantis, so he ran for the state Senate. He won the Democratic primary. He has no opposition in the general election.
It's still a tough legislature, though, because it's gerrymandered.
Yes. But one by one, we can try to get those seats. And in Delaware, State Senator Sarah McBride has been running for the United States House of Representatives. She has now won her primary, or the others withdrew from the Democratic primary.
And they don't have a Republican candidate yet. And they have until like August something. Someone could file by July 9th for the September 9th primary. But, you know, Sarah McBride, that's going to be quite a revelation there in Congress, an out trans person. She's a former press officer for the Human Rights Campaign.
Yes, and she's a political star in Delaware, and it'll be fun.
Biden loves her. That's his home state.
Sarah McBride, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, my goodness.
We're taking bets.
Well, she's very rude to black people, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, not Sarah.
Right. No, of course not.
And interesting development in Oklahoma, where we've been talking about state school superintendent Ryan Walters, who is such a monster and just ignores all good practices because his major donors want him to destroy the public school system. And we've been up in arms about that for months. Well, the governor has taken a little step. The legislature and the governor have barred him from using funds for his personal PR. Now, the state is still passing a lot of anti-LGBTQ legislation.
Oklahoma ranked 49th in education in the country. There's only 50 states. Who's the last one? Well, I don't know.
All right.
And in New York City, schools chancellor Banks took action to remove an offensive Moms for Liberty member, Maud Maron, from the advisory Manhattan Education Council. Maron once posted, there's no such thing as trans kids. There's no such thing as transition. Maron is suing to get her post back. The council called on the Board of Education to review the policy that lets girls play girls' sports. And a motion to rescind that resolution failed last week as LGBTQ activists descended on the meeting.
And speaking of LGBTQ youth, the Allie Forney Center for Homeless LGBTQ Youth and the city, New York City, have agreed to a settlement that mandates better city treatment of LGBTQ foster youth.
And in San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to be a sanctuary city for trans and non-binary people, the largest city to do so, bars city officials from assisting in any out-of-state investigations into individuals who obtain, provide, or help others obtain gender-affirming care, including youth. Now, other cities have declared themselves safe havens for trans people, Ithaca, New York City, Lawrence, Kansas, Kansas City, and a bunch of states, and three states have done that with executive orders.
So let's get to Leah Thomas.
Yeah.
Leah Thomas is the trans swimmer who has lost races, won
Yale?
Races.
Well, Yale?
No.
No, where is she? Where does she swim
from?
Penn. Sorry.
For a while. But now,
Ivy League.
Well, she was semi-successful in her original career, in her male-identified career. She transitioned. She's had a mixed career in her female gender identity, but you know, you win one race and people say, oh, you're getting this, in the way of all these
This was the case that sparked a lot of the backlash.
It is, but she also lost a lot of races. And even the one she won in much slower time than others had established.
So that made the sporting bodies look at different standards for when a transgender person could compete.
And for the Olympic Committee originally had some rules about trans participation, but people got upset because they were too liberal. So they said, all right, each individual sport can make their own decision about trans participation. So Leah Thomas has been at the Court of Arbitration to bring a case against World Aquatics, which wanted to keep her out of the Olympics. Well, the decision by the Court of Arbitration is that she cannot sue. She doesn't have standing because she's not an official member of the U.S. Swimming Federation. I have no idea why not, but she isn't. And the World Aquatics says she can't swim against women if she has gone through male puberty, which she did.
So but they can't stop you from swimming. Remember that.
Yeah, but she can't compete in the Olympics. The new rules came into effect, of course, after she won one race. They did have an open category at the Berlin World Cup, but nobody entered in that, so okay. That's not an option.
All right, can we go to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Gay journalist Josh Krueger, we told you about him, 39, was murdered in his home last October by Robert Davis, there on the right, 20 years old, who pled guilty to third-degree murder as well as aggravated assault and illegal possession of a gun in a September shooting in a SEPTA station. He was sentenced this week to 15 to 30 years in prison. Now, police said the men were in a relationship, and this was a domestic dispute. Relatives of Davis said Krueger sexually abused Davis for multiple years while Davis was a minor. And Krueger's brother, Zach, said Josh played a significant role in his own death and wasn't a victim of a hate crime. But Davis pled guilty and expressed sorrow, saying, I think about Josh and the Krueger family every day of my life. It's a tragic story.
Very.
All the way around.
Yes, very. Deaths we want to mourn this week. First, Bruce
Well,
Bat-
one of them we want to mourn. I don't know about the other
okay.
one.
Well, several. We'll get to that. Bruce Bastian of Utah. Bruce Bastian was a guy who made a fortune as one of the creators of WordPerfect.
1979. Became one of the 400 richest people in America.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. But he turned all that to good. He had been married, divorced from a woman, and then he came out, and he devoted hundreds of millions of dollars to LGBTQ causes. Political
and the arts.
I was getting to that. What did he donate? 55 pianos to someone?
I don't have the figure.
He was very adamant about the need for arts in the world and its importance, but he also was active in political causes. He served on the board of the Human Rights Campaign for 22 years. He gave to social service agencies. He gave in Utah heavily, but also nationally. He fought against bans on marriage. He was a huge, huge factor.
Troy Williams of the Equality Utah said, all of our progress over the last three decades can be traced back to Bruce, our mentor, benefactor, and friend. He died of pulmonary fibrosis and is survived by his husband, four sons, and 14 grandchildren.
He was complimented for his authenticity in coming out in his life. And he said, I suppose authenticity takes guts, but it's actually easier than some might expect. Now, when you have hundreds of millions of dollars, that makes it easier, too. But I take what he says. People are scared of coming out. They think they're going to be shunned and lose jobs and family and friends.
And it's true in some cases.
But in fact, it can make you more successful, certainly happier, and give you an easier life.
It's made us happier.
Well, it certainly has.
He was 76 years old, Bruce was.
And we don't have hundreds of millions of dollars.
No.
Now, then there is Paul Pressler.
He's the zealot who drove the Southern Baptist Convention to the far right, political right, starting in 1967. He's died at 94. But sexual abuse allegations started arising against him in 2004, including from Dwayne Rollins, who had been a 14-year-old member of Presser's church youth group in Houston. He settled with that guy for $450,000, but the charges surfaced in 2017. Seven more men accused him of sexual abuse or misconduct. In his heyday, he drove out the moderate elements of the Southern Baptist Convention, pushing biblical inerrancy while personally breaking every rule in the book. By the way,
literally the book.
Speaker Mike Johnson was once the dean of the Judge Paul Pressler School of Law, a Baptist school in Louisiana that collapsed a decade ago without opening its doors or enrolling students amidst accusations of financial impropriety.
Oh, we ought to investigate Speaker Johnson for that connection.
Oh, the stories sort of say, he wasn't implicated in it, you know, but you, come on.
Well, what I like is that the Southern Baptist shunned this guy. They got rid of him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. They didn't even announce his death. They just...
He made you what you are today. Corrupt and right-wing.
Yeah. Well, he was a monster. And just as a footnote, the pastor of the Gateway megachurch in Texas, Robert Morris, has just admitted to having had sex with a 12-year-old girl some years ago. Some years ago. It was just
Did he marry her?
No.
Sometimes you marry them and you're not charged with rape.
Yeah. And then there's Colonel Edward Thomas Ryan of Rensselaer, New York.
A Vietnam War veteran.
Yeah. And a fireman and a radio station owner. He came out in his obituary, the Sally Ride of New York City. He had a partner, Paul Cavagnaro, for 25 years.
Died in 1994.
Yeah, but he was just too scared to be open about who he was.
And he said he couldn't come out, but he wrote, "Now that my secret is known, I will rest in peace." Well, I urge everybody to do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and someone who was very out and loud and proud was our friend Kathy Otter.
Ah, yes.
For whom there was a memorial service this week here in New York. Kathy died this year. We talked about Kathy. Kathy was one of the St. Patrick's Six convicted along with me and others.
Have to stop the church action.
Exactly. The action was in 1989. I think our trial was in 1990. She was fantastic. Out as a trans person in ACT UP, not always popular with every member of ACT UP for that. She took a lot of heat. But just absolutely fearless in being who she was and doing what she did.
Got elected to the Fairbanks, Alaska City Council.
Exactly. Moved to Alaska, took up politics there and civic works. There's a very eloquent letter from the mayor of Fairbanks mourning her death and talking what a great citizen she was.
We will link to a stream of the service that took place at the AIDS Memorial in Manhattan.
Exactly. She did not die of AIDS.
But she was an AIDS activist.
Right. Very much so.
All right. Well, the big international news?
Sure.
The big news is from Thailand. They have become the first country in Southeast Asia and the 39th in the world to legalize same-sex marriage. They joined Nepal and Taiwan in Asia. It passed like 130-4 with 18 abstentions. Now, the Senate there is run by the military.
It's always good to wait until you're sure of the vote.
It's insane when these votes take place. What were you waiting for if you had 130 votes? But now it does have to go to the king.
It's considered a pro forma approval by the king.
Well, a friend of mine tells me he's a big drug addict. It's a mess over there because, you know, you're not even allowed. I could get in trouble. You're not allowed to insult the king. And one of the big political people in Thailand is just arrested for under this charge, which the military always brings against you.
You think of Thailand as a paradise for gay people, ladyboys, all of that. But it turns out there's a lot more turmoil there politically.
There is turmoil. I have friends who live there who emigrated from here. But the politics is quite a mess. But they did do same-sex marriage.
And in Ukraine, we've told you as the Ukraine-Russia war started that there were a lot of LGBTQ people serving in the Ukraine military and getting a lot of praise and advancing the idea of civil rights by serving and being heroes in the war. Well, evidently it's not advancing fast enough because hundreds of them, of LGBTQ members of the military, held a march through Kyiv this week to demand partnership rights. In spite of rain there and having to have a police guard against protesters, counter-protesters.
The nationalist militants. But they all, but the nationalists and the, you know, the church and everything, everybody was chanting together, arm Ukraine now. They agreed
the
on
marchers,
that.
The marchers, the counterpersons. Yes. And U.S. and European embassy staff showed up to march with the LGBTQ military marchers.
Yes. All right. Let's go back to the Pope. You saw a meeting with comedians this week.
They should be ashamed of
themselves. Including Whoopi and Colbert and Chris Rock and Conan
King
O'Brien.
And King Notaro.
I know. And, you know.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
They're all just grinning like idiots. And nobody took him on over his faggotry comments, which he keeps repeating.
David Sedaris was there.
And, you know, the Pope said it's okay to laugh at his God, but we don't appreciate being mocked by him. And then to read Reverend James Martin, who is this guy, Jesuit, who keeps, you know, saying he promotes gay rights. He says, oh, I met with the Pope and the Pope, you know, has been quoted as telling bishops not to ordain men with homosexual tendencies, told him, that he's known many good. The Pope has known many good holy and celibate seminarians. I mean, come on. Speak for yourself, Holy Father. Tell us what you think. Don't speak through these intermediaries.
Well, there is one group that did not hold back in mocking the Pope for his statements, and that was the marchers at Rome Pride. They all showed up in costumes of the Pope with rainbow flags and there's a cutout of the Pope with a rainbow lei around his neck and signs from those marchers saying, no, there is not too much faggotry in seminaries. There's not enough. And people just let loose making fun of him and his statements and reclaiming the language for themselves, which I thought was terrific.
I mean, this Father Martin said, oh, there's not an ounce of homophobia in Francis.
Please.
Yet he presides over a church that teaches we're disordered and that fires you if you come out as gay. So come on. That's a lot of homophobia.
Yeah.
All right.
AIDS
Don't
and help.
Give us anything to talk about next week, Holy Father, unless it's positive.
We're sick of it. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is arguing that it can deny coverage for trans care because its administrative role is not a health-related activity covered by the ACA's non-discrimination rules. Blue Cross Blue Shield. Not health-related.
Wow.
Well, Lambda Legal Defense is suing. They brought a class action suit because hundreds of people have been denied coverage by Blue Cross under this claim. Lower courts have agreed with Lambda Legal that this is utter nonsense. And now it's at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is being asked to affirm the lower court decision.
Insurance companies are gatekeepers in the desert. Let's get rid of them and have universal health care.
They know one word, no.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
all right.
How they stay in business.
Did you watch the Tony Awards?
I did watch the Tony Awards, and I thought they were pretty entertaining.
They were. We're going to give you the LGBTQ angles, starting with Jonathan Groff, 39 years old, who won his first Tony for Best Actor in a Musical for the revival of Sondheim's Merrily We Roll Along. Sondheim was a gay, too.
It's astonishing to me that all the actors who won for the first time,
yeah.
And particularly Jonathan Groff, who...
Yes. Well, he'd been nominated twice before for Hamilton and Spring Awakening, but he said He thanked the Spring Awakening cast for inspiring him to come out when he was 23. I found out who I was at that time, and that show changed my career and my life. We will link to his heartfelt speech in our email. And kudos, by the way, to LGBTQ ally Daniel Radcliffe, who won his first Tony for the same show.
They all won their first Tonys. Sarah Paulson won her first Tony. There she is. She thanked her partner, Holland Taylor, among many others.
Thank you for loving me, she said about Holland.
Yeah, now that was...
An appropriate one for best revival of a play, a win for out gay playwright Brandon Jacobs Jenkins.
I wish I'd liked the play more.
Who gave a shout out to Ossie Davis, who paved the way with Pearly Victorious in 1961.
I wish I'd liked that more, too.
You saw it on TV. I saw it in the theater.
It's true. I saw it on TV and walked out in the middle because that's what I do.
And then Malia Joy Moon won for Best Featured Actress in a Musical for Hell's Kitchen, her first professional job. She had almost given up show business when she got cast in it. The show's a fictionalized remix of Alicia Keys' childhood in Hell's Kitchen.
I thought she was completely charming. I really liked hearing her speak.
And I know you think, you know, the Broadway is a hotbed of heathenism, but I can't believe how many of these people. The first person they got up and thanked was God.
Yeah, that was a bit
including
much.
Malia. Anyway, who else we have? Justin Peck, the choreographer, won another Tony, this time for Best Choreography for Illinois.
Now, that performance excerpt was quite...
homoerotic.
Well, men kissing. Mixed race men's kiss.
It's a musical without dialogue, just song and dance.
Without a lot of clothes on, too.
And Billy Porter won the Isabel Stevenson Award for his humanitarian work, started his speech by launching into James Cleveland's I don't feel no ways tired, said he grew up in a world where they told me that who I was not worthy of anything. So the fact that I am standing before you is a miracle. He came out as gay at 16 in 1985. He said, America's at a crossroads, but love always wins. I hope you're right. He said, when we fight, we always win. And then they gave special Lifetime Tony Awards to out directors, George C. Wolfe, who did the Normal Heart revival, Angels in America, and the Byard Rustin film, among so many others, and Jack O'Brien there, the white guy, which was presented by Harvey Fierstein, who starred in his Hairspray. He's won a raft of Tonys. He said he grew up, when he was growing up, he was born in 1939, growing up gay in the Eisenhower era, we have to look forward to? Liberace?
Paul Lind.
That's true.
And a few
the
others.
Center Square.
Yeah. And the award show was hosted for the third year in a row by Ariana DeBose.
Yes.
Bisexual, thank
yes.
you. And I thought she did a fine job.
Yes.
It moved along. It was well-paced. And even though it was 3 hours,
Only got to see the major awards because the others are on a pre-show that you have to have some special cable thing to watch, which I did not.
No, and I wasn't looking for that, but...
All right. Andrew Rannells was there at the Tonys. He did a little number from Gutenberg, the musical. He was the
That was cute.
He was star of the original Book of Mormon, and he was on Girls and Boys in the Band he was in. And he was a hit in London in Tammy Faye, the musical by Elton John, and he'd been announced for the Broadway run to play Jim Baker, but he announced there in an interview that he couldn't come to an agreement on terms with the producers, so he's out. But though Katie Braben, who is playing Tammy, is still in, she's a two-time Olivier Award winner, that begins previews in October.
Well, I don't know who will take on the Jim Baker role, but Andrew Rannells is so popular and such a hit. How can they...
Pay him! He's worth it!
Yeah, you would think so.
And then at the Julius's, which is the oldest gay bar in New York City, who pops in but Sam Smith there on the right and...
Alicia Keys on the left.
Accompanying her for the 10th anniversary to mark his hit In the Lonely Hour.
Isn't Sam Smith non-binary? Don't they use they
Oh, sorry.
Pronouns?
There you go.
So
thank you.
In the Lonely Hour was Sam Smith's debut album. So this was a little PR event to celebrate its 10th anniversary. And Alicia Keys, who was a knockout at the Tonys.
Hell's Kitchen.
And doing Empire State of Mind with Jay-Z showing up on stage. People looked at it and said, is that Jay-Z? And it was.
I think Jay-Z was on tape, but that's okay.
Whatever. The performance was,
yes, it was
the
great.
Two of them. So there's Alicia Keys then at Julius's.
So I saw Sam Art Williams' 1979 hit play, Home, now on Broadway at the Roundabout. Now, Williams sadly died just before the opening of this revival. This is his reflection on leaving and returning to a farm in North Carolina by the character of Cephas Miles from the 1950s to the 70s. Tori Kittles does an amazing job as the lead, supported by Brittany Inge and Story Ayers, who played all the other characters in his life in North Carolina or New York City. It's a tad dated, but it has a lot of heart and humor.
And what about Panty Bliss?
I love Panty Bliss, the Irish drag artist and activist, holding court at the Irish Arts Center through June 23rd. And this is a show I heartily recommend. Panty can be hilarious when telling personal stories and very fierce when she is being political. It's a bracing 90 minutes, a trip through a changed Ireland and a changed world, with Panty ever vigilant about standing up to the current backlash.
Well, Panty was a very important activist, what, in the marriage debate?
Absolutely, one of the leaders of it.
Yes.
You know, she gets invited to Irish embassies all over the world to perform. we have a little time. You have something else?
Yeah, we have a couple minutes,
okay.
Yeah.
So, like, she gets invited to Vienna to do this, and she wants to bring her boyfriend. And he's Brazilian, and she doesn't really want to go to Vienna, but he does. And then he cancels at the last second, and she has to find, and she's booked all this, so she has to find a substitute Brazilian who she finds on Grindr and goes to the embassy with him. It was a very funny story. And at the embassy, they said, oh, how did you like the film about Panty? And he goes, oh, I never saw it. Wait a minute. And then he covers and he says, that's the public Panty. I'm for the personal Panty.
Who I've known for 5 minutes.
That's right. They briefed each other on the plane about who they were. But this guy wanted to go to...
Yeah, I got you.
It's a funny story.
Now...
Sorry to spoil it for you. Go see Panty at the Irish Arts Center.
That's okay.
11th Avenue and 51st.
Now, we haven't seen this because it's coming next week on Netflix. Outstanding, a comedy revolution all about LGBT comedians over the years and the evolution of that. So you might want to take a look at that. I finally finished on Netflix Orange is the New Black. I'm only 10 years late to it, but it's really good.
Okay.
It held my interest for all 91 hours. And I know a lot of people who gave up after season 2 or 3, but I stuck with it, and I'm glad I did.
I didn't have Netflix when it came out, but I can catch up on it now.
Maybe that's why I didn't watch it originally. And I just can't say enough about Queer Planet on Peacock, not because I think it's the best-made show, because it's not, but all the insight about gender fluidity in the natural world is just stunning and really important information that can really turn your attitude around.
Well, we're going to miss you, Anne, for the next 3 weeks. Maren will be here next week with Bill Ballman and then Chris Cooper and then Maren again. And
thank
you. Have a great trip.
I will be refreshed and ready when I return, and I know you guys will have fun, and I'll miss you guys, but I'm off. So come back next week for Maren and Andy and Bill. And
for our Pride Week show.
Goodbye.